Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
We have a great show tonight. We really do. If you're listening on 95.9 or 106.9 FM, and it is Monday night, we are here live. If you're on iHeartRadio, welcome aboard. And, of course, if you're listening on Long Island, 103.9, Long Island's FM station, Long Island's FM Talk Radio, it's Wednesday evening. We hope you had a great day. I have a great show tonight. I really do. It's about a subject you likely have never thought of. We all joke about hospital food being bad. But what if it's also bad for you, and maybe it's not appropriate for you in your current condition? So, for example, should someone who just had heart surgery, and we're going to talk about this, be served steak, even if it's prime, even if it came from New York Prime? Should you be eating that? Well, of course not. And my guest tonight is leading the charge to change how hospitals and how you should look at food in your current health conditions. Dr. David Dotson is here from Good Samaritan, and he is on a mission to improve the quality of all of our lives through better nutrition. More on Dr. Dotson in a minute. But first, I want to remind everybody that Alpert Jewish Family and Children's Service is hosting an aging mastery program along with the National Council on Aging. It's a 10-week program. It starts in February. It's at two locations. It starts on February 1st at the Boynton Beach JCC, and it will begin on February 7th at the Palm Beach Gardens JCC. It's a wonderful program. I know some of the speakers that are going to be doing some of the sessions are brilliant. That would include me. But we're also actually going to do one on nutrition there, and that's really, really interesting. That's going to be done by Melissa Morante, and I know her pretty well because she's my daughter. So it's really, really important. I'm also going to be speaking this week about how you use social history to improve the quality of care for somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia. I'm going to be talking to the Social Worker Association group on Friday morning. And while I know that not all of you can come to that, and none of you may or may not, we're going to be at Grand Villa West in Delray Beach. The reason I bring that up is that it's important that we understand how social history can impact the quality of one's life and the quality of care. And we're going to talk more about that in weeks and months to come, so pay attention. But that's not why you tuned in. You tuned in to listen to Dr. David Dotson. Dr. Dotson has practiced internal medicine and infectious disease in West Palm Beach since 1985. He's a graduate of Cornell and Cornell University Medical College. He completed his internal medicine residency at Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia and his infectious disease fellowship at Yale New Haven Hospital, where he also worked at the Yale Tropical Medicine Clinic. Dr. Dotson is double board certified in internal medicine and infectious disease and is a fellow of the American College of Physicians. He founded the Travelers Medical Service in West Palm Beach in 1985 and has counseled thousands of travelers over the years. He's certified by Cornell in plant-based nutrition. He has served as chairman of the governing board of Good Samaritan Hospital and has been chief of staff at Good Sam as well. Blew that pretty quick. He has been chief of staff at Good Samaritan Hospital and St. Mary's Hospital and Intracoastal Health System. He's also been affiliated with Mass General and Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. His educational activities have included over 200 TV and radio interviews. He's been recognized as a best doctor by Castle Connolly Guide and a top doc by Miami Metro Magazine and a top doctor by South Florida Magazine. He served on the board of directors of Found Care, also Palm Healthcare Foundation. That's interesting. We talk about that. I've actually been involved with Palm Healthcare over the years. And Hope House. He is powered by a vegan diet, competes in triathlons, enjoys medical antiques and world travel. And I can tell you he looks a whole lot better than me. And we're probably about the same age. But anyway, welcome to the show, Dr. Dotson.
Thank you very much, Scott. My mom couldn't have written that intro better.
actually, my wife writes mine, so I know what you mean. Anyway, so why don't we start right at the beginning? Why has this become so important to you? And in conjunction with that question, what's the healthiest diet for us?
Yeah, so the healthiest diet, you'd think after 250 million years of human evolution, you'd think we would have figured out what's the optimal diet for human beings. And actually, we have. The problem is that we're in a society where a lot of companies make a lot of money, and their interest is not exactly aligned with us eating the best things that are best for our bodies. So, this immediate thing started when I walked in on rounds one day, and a patient of mine had just come in with a heart attack, and he had had a stent placed and everything. And I happened to be on rounds around noontime, and they were bringing in his lunch tray. And then I asked the dietitian, show me the menu for cardiac patients. And every single day it was pork chops or Salisbury steak or hamburgers or something. And I go, wait a minute, something's wrong here.
Right.
Something's wrong. And I was just reading, there was another like one of these periodicals about a guy who came into one of the local health organizations, and he had a heart attack. And so, people have a heart attack, and then that's kind of a wake-up call, and then all of a sudden they say, I better do something better. I better eat better. Well, the question is, why wait till you have the heart attack to eat better? So if you're going to change your diet for something healthy, change it before the heart attack. Don't wait till after.
And I know you and I have talked about this in preparation for the show, and I've talked about it with other physicians on the show, and I'm the perfect example. I really am. You know, I'm 68 years old. I'm in pretty good shape, but I'm not in great shape. I've had a stent, and I know that I have 50% blockage in two other arteries. Of course, we don't do anything for those just yet. My question is, we all know this, but we don't do it. You know what I mean? So how do we talk to people in a way that gets people to understand? And then, why is it that people think, and we didn't really talk about what the best diet is yet, but why is it that people think that the best diet is not something they would enjoy, which frankly is my problem.
Certainly there are a lot of, the entire food industry has designed its foods to taste good. And so people get addicted to salt and fat and sugar, and that's the foods they like, and that's the foods they grow up with. But those foods are designed to maximize corporate profits, not maximize human health. So, and it's actually, once you start thinking about it, about what you're putting into your body and what it's doing to you, once you make up your mind, it's actually pretty easy to change your diet. But it's, initially it's not quite what you're used to. And then what really is good is once you start eating healthier, the taste gets better, you actually feel better, and it all kind of builds on each other. So, and I think it's gotten a bad rap that everybody thought that a vegan diet was just for skinny little hippie guys, but it's really not true. And more and more, like for instance, in a couple of weeks, Tom Brady will be playing in the Super Bowl. He's a vegan.
Right.
So more and more athletes, more and more people are getting it. When you put clean fuel into your body performs better. When you put lousy fuel with fats and cholesterol and stuff, the body doesn't perform as well. So people are starting to get it, and doctors get it. A lot of doctors do. As a matter of fact, the American Medical Association just came out with a resolution, and they want hospitals to start having healthy food in their hospitals. And the American College of Cardiology just recommended that hospitals have plant-based diets in their hospitals. So finally, we're getting a critical mass where people are starting to get it, that we can improve people's health with a better diet.
So the question for me then becomes, is vegan the best diet? Because there's all sorts of material out there that says a balanced meal with proteins, animal fat proteins, lean meats, chicken, eggs, those kind of things. Can you be healthy and not eat a vegan diet, or can you be vegan 3 days a week? Is it only vegan? And I'm asking because it is very confusing. Even if you're well-intentioned, it's very confusing.
Well, sure. A lot of times an entity such as a corporation or a government, when they want to control, the first thing they do is confuse.
Right.
And so there's a lot of disinformation out there that leads people to say, I don't understand all this stuff. But when you look at the science, it's actually very clear. And what's clear is that a plant-based diet, plants, not animals, is the best thing for your body, and it's the best thing for our planet. And once you can figure that out, it's really pretty clear, and then you start seeing the evidence for it. But a lot of the recommendations, so-called boards and all that stuff, a lot of them are corporate lobbyists, and they're out to advance their own interests, not necessarily yours.
So how did you come to this? I know that you've talked to me about the China study. Is that what got you here, or did you find the China study after you got here? Because you haven't not been vegan your whole life.
Right? I grew up outside Chicago, so mm-hmm. I was a Midwesterner.
You're a meat eater.
So yeah, we ate milk and dairy and eggs and everything.
Right.
And then about 6 years ago, my wife and I read the China study, and that was the first really scientific evidence that I saw. You've seen diet books, but the China study was actually a cancer study in China, and it basically proved that a high protein, animal protein diet caused more cancer. And it so happens that same diet causes more heart disease. So that was really where it started, and there's movies called One's of Forks Over Knives, and there's a new movie called, I'll think of it in a minute.
Right.
More and more evidence is accumulating that when we eat this way, then you don't get the diseases that you get. When you eat the standard American diet, you get the standard American diseases, which are heart attacks and strokes and diabetes and overweight and cancer. And when you eat differently, then you don't.
So it's interesting. I know you and I did not discuss this, but I told you I listened really carefully.
Yep. Yep.
There's a lot of talk about this issue in the world of Alzheimer's and dementia. Have you made any bridge with a vegan diet, plant-based diet, in the development of Alzheimer's and dementia? Or?
There has been no definitive studies that have shown that, but some subsets of dementia are what's called vascular dementia,
right,
where the arteries gets clogged up with the same cholesterol that clogs up your heart arteries. So there is some thought that if we keep the arteries clean, that there will be less dementia, although the Alzheimer's per se, that's a specific disease with deposition of protein and everything like that. So that's a different kind of issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. So, the Mediterranean diet, often perceived to be
healthier. Yep.
Does include some of the things that are not just plant-based, am I correct?
Well,
I
mean, the Mediterranean diet is a plant-based diet with fish.
With fish.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have talked, so I don't know, the China study, did it study a particular group of people? Did it study...
No, so the China study was the largest nutritional study ever done in the human population at that time. It was published in 2005. And what happened was the emperor of China had died of prostate or bladder cancer, and he bequeathed to his country, he said, go do a study about the occurrence of cancer in China. And they did. And over 10 years and over tens of thousands of people, interviews, where do you work, what do, what do you eat, what's your family? And then they put it all in the computer, and it turns out that the highest correlation was animal meat consumption. There were hot spots in China of cancers, and other areas had no cancers whatsoever, and the diet was the difference.
Wow. It's amazing. Now, so I brought up the Blue Zones, and because there was a book a few years ago called The Blue Zones, and they identified, I think at the time it was seven. I know there are more now, but there were seven areas, and the one thing they had in common was that they had similar diets that did not include a fair amount of meats.
So a Blue Zone is an area on Earth where people live extraordinarily long. And so I forget his name, but he wrote the book about the Blue Zones. And he went to all these places and he looked at what's the common element. And the common element is a plant-based diet and physical activity all their life. They're not couch potatoes. So and there is actually one Blue Zone in the United States Loma Linda. And it turns out that Loma Linda has a very high percentage of Seventh-day Adventists, which don't eat meat.
Right. And there's a big Seventh-day Adventist population here amongst my caregiving community, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So how has it changed your life? You personally, you were eating not this way until 7 or 8 years ago, or six or 7 years ago. Have you seen a dramatic change for you?
Yeah, I feel better. You know, I do triathlons. I never win one, but I crawl across the finish line, so I'm very happy with that. But yeah,
did you do those before?
I just started. I just started. Yeah, right. But you feel better. What happens is there's something called the microbiome, which is the gut bacteria, and the microbiome of vegetarians is very different from the microbiome of meat eaters. So that when people eat meat, there's a set of bacteria in there that digests the meat, and there's a lot of inflammatory chemicals that are made. One is called TMAO. They worked out some of the science, and that's a highly inflammatory chemical that takes the cholesterol in the meat and it deposits right in your arteries. Vegetarians, however, have an entirely different set of bacteria in their guts, and it's a lot less inflammatory, and it's a lot easier on your body.
So, is there a difference in if you're attempting a plant-based diet between organic plant-based or the stuff that you could buy at Publix, or as opposed to the more expensive variety?
Well, that's a very good question, and actually a common question. Everybody says, "What about when I eat plants? I might get some pesticides or something." So yeah, organic and natural stuff is better, but the other part of this is think about it: the meat you eat. All those animals, all the farm animals, the cows and the pigs and the sheep and chickens, they all eat plants. Right. And so all of these pesticides and dioxin and everything else is concentrated in the animal meat. So you're eating, when you eat meat, you're eating far more pesticides than if you eat a plant that you can wash off under the sink.
Right. So I think it's important for me to remind everybody, if you're just tuning in, that Dr. Dodson is... he's not a nutritionist. He's a physician who has come to this later in his career, and he is talking about this from the perspective of not curing disease but preventing disease. And I know it can do both.
Yes,
right. Yeah, it can do both, and we're going to talk about it doing both. You're right, but I guess the basic premise is, why don't we stop it before we get it? Is that a fair statement? Yeah. So it's a really interesting subject because Dr. Dodson comes to this from a perspective that is unique, having been a physician for many, many years, having been chief of staff at a number of hospitals, for being an internal medicine specialist and a travel specialist. He knows what people do in other parts of the world as well. So it's really interesting, and I encourage you to stay tuned. If you just tune in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom here tonight with Dr. David Dodson from Good Samaritan Hospital, who is an internal medicine and infectious disease specialist, board certified in both, but also very invested in healthy eating to keep us healthier, to make us healthier, and to prevent us from getting sick. If you have any questions for Dr. Dodson or for me, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call us, 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. If you're listening on 95.9 or 106.9 and it's Monday night, we're live and we're glad that you're with us. If you're listening on Sunday morning, obviously we're on tape. We hope today is great for you ahead and that the weather holds up and all is well. And if you're listening on Long Island 103.9 FM, we're glad that you joined us. We hope your day was terrific up there in probably chilly New York. But we're talking tonight to Dr. David Dotson, and we're talking about nutrition, we're talking about health, we're talking about plant-based, but we're also talking about changing the way you eat inside of a hospital. And that's really how Dr. Dotson and I got connected. We're talking about the effort he's undertaking at Good Samaritan Hospital. And before we get to that, though, Dr. Dotson, one of the things we talked about during the break was that the first question you get is when you switch to a vegan diet or a plant-based diet, where does protein come from? And people worry about that, don't they?
Right, they do. So, think about it. All protein comes from plants. Period. Plants, through nitrogen fixation, make protein. Animals don't make protein. Plants make protein. Animals eat the plants to get the protein. And the optimal amount of protein in your diet is about 5 to maybe 10% of your calories. And all plant-based foods have at least 6% of calories from protein. Who knew? Oh. There are some plants.
Yeah, right, who knew?
Yeah, yes. Right, so, exactly. So bottom line, because of that, because all plants have at least 5 or 6% of calories from protein, if you eat enough calories, it is impossible to be protein deficient on a plant-based diet. Right. You will always get enough. And then the problem is, where the problem is the American diet has about 15 to 20% protein in the diet. And when you eat excess protein, it sets off a whole cascade of things. One is a growth factor that can set off cancer cells. So the excess protein is not doing your body any harm or any good. As far as plant-based foods, green leafy vegetables are made up of 35 to 50% protein. Kale has 40% protein. Broccoli, 35%. Baby spinach, 51% is protein. So you're getting all the protein you need. And think about this. Think about a gorilla, an elephant, and a rhinoceros. Big, strong, huge animals. Well, what do they eat? They're vegetarians.
Plant-based, right?
Yeah. So you can get as big and as strong, and you can be a Super Bowl quarterback like Tom Brady by eating a plant-based diet. You don't have to eat meat.
You know, you mentioned that twice about Tom Brady, and I know there's been a lot of talk lately. He's in remarkable condition, and people don't realize he's, I think, 40, maybe 41. He's no kid for a Super Bowl-bound quarterback. He's in remarkable shape, and he thinks he can play for another 5 or 6 years. And he credits his diet and his exercise routine for that.
Well, that's right. I mean, people listening tonight, you know, we're all getting older, but how do you optimize your health for whatever time you have?
Right.
And it's by optimizing the fuel that you eat and by exercising.
Are fruit and nuts part of the equation here?
Absolutely.
As well?
Absolutely.
Right. So fruit is considered okay.
Fruits and vegetables and nuts and green leafy vegetables and whole grains, quinoa, beans, fruits, nuts, everything.
Right.
It basically, if it has one of those UPC labels on it and then it has a bunch of chemicals that you can't pronounce, don't eat it.
And you can eat this and still have a social life, right? You can go out into you can go to restaurants and be accommodated and eat well and
stick
to the diet. Because I think people don't believe that's true.
Yep. All restaurants are getting it. The critical mass is building. Like if we go out to a restaurant, we can just ask for a vegan option. And we go to some of these fancy things and we go to the different places. And they all have it because customers are demanding it now. So a critical mass is building, particularly among the younger people.
Let's talk about Good Sam's role in this, because that's one of the reasons that we're here tonight to talk about Good Samaritan. Tell me, are they on board? Are they on the program? Are they supportive? Were they skeptical at first when you brought this to them? You did bring it to them, I presume, right?
I brought it. Well, and it so turns out that there's a new administrator, a CEO at Good Sam, and she was very...
she's young, you know, too, right?
Yes.
She's very young.
Yes, Tara McCoy, and she gets it. Right. And once you start talking about this, and once you start talking about to other doctors, everybody goes, duh.
Right.
Of course, that's what we must do. So the administration got it, and then the medical executive committee passed a resolution that the medical staff is behind it, and so then the nutrition department developed a menu, and we're just about to roll that out. So a plant-based diet will be an option for all patients at Good Samaritan Hospital within the next few weeks. It'll be on board, and you can have that, or you can have the standard diet, your choice.
Was it beta tested at all? Is there any statistics yet on how many patients will opt for the plant-based options over the normal?
We're just rolling it out. And there are a number of plant-based restaurants in West Palm Beach, and we're going to have some of their chefs come over and give us some tips at the hospital about how to optimize and how to get the best-tasting stuff.
So the dietitians are all on the program as well. They're okay because this is adding work for them. There's no question. It's going to change their purchasing habits. There's a lot of implications here.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's right.
Right. So this was a big commitment for Good Sam to jump on board.
Yep.
Right.
And I think they're the first hospital in Florida to do this.
Right.
And I commend them for it. I mean, that's really what they're looking out for is first of all, their patients to do something like this. And I think at some point, all hospitals will be doing it.
Are many around the country doing it? I know you mentioned somebody in Texas,
who's starting it. There's a cardiac surgeon who has a whole plant-based kitchen for his patients at a hospital in Houston. So around the country, people are starting to get it, but nobody's really, you know, I think once a hospital adopts it and people, like when you're sick and you go in a hospital and then all of a sudden you can be taught a new way to eat and a new way to live, that's what's called a teachable moment.
There's no question.
So that they have your attention. And so that's the time to sort of change people's behavior. And I think it's a good starting point.
And you're absolutely right, as I speak from experience, that the minute your heart starts to get involved and mortality begins to stare you straight in the face, that's more than a teachable moment. It's a real big slap in the face that says, wake up, big guy.
Yeah, so after your first stent, your options are, do you want to keep eating the same way and have another stent or maybe a bypass, or do you want to change what you're doing and avoid that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I have so many more questions. I'm so glad that you're with us. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. David Dotson from Good Samaritan Hospital, who is advocating for implementing and really trailblazing a new plant-based diet option at Good Samaritan Hospital. He's adapted it for his personal lifestyle, and he's talking to patients and talking to non-believers like me, perhaps, about the benefits of changing our diet. We're going to talk about so much more on this subject, which I find incredibly fascinating. I hope you do too. If you're listening on 95.9 and 106.9 FM, and it's Monday night, we are live 103.9 FM. We're on Long Island, Long Island's Talk Radio. We're glad that you're with us. If you have questions for Dr. Dotson, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. It's too bad you can't always hear us during the break. We have sometimes as much exciting conversation during the break as we do live. But my guest tonight is very passionate about his story tonight, about his mission. He is Dr. David Dotson, and he is spearheading an effort at Good Samaritan Hospital here in Palm Beach, or in West Palm Beach, give the option to patients for a plant-based food option as opposed to what we have come to know as the regular food options. This began for him at the hospital by seeing one of his patients on rounds who had just had a heart attack and was being offered a hamburger for lunch. The revelation was, we're giving him precisely what brought him here in the first place, and shouldn't we be looking at a different option? But some people are stubborn, and I would put myself in that camp. So it's hard to make the transition. We called it during the break a paradigm shift. Dr. Dotson understands that. So, Dr. Dotson, my question for you is, when you encounter people like me, people like my listeners, people who love going out for a good steak dinner or love having a little chicken parmesan or whatever it is that we do, and you know that it's not good for us, and we probably know that it's not good for us, but we are disinclined to give that up totally. How do we find a kumbaya moment?
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why vegans have gotten a bad rap is, besides the stereotype of them being skinny little hippie people, is a lot of them have been scolds. Right. And who wants to hear that? But people respond to facts, to science. And when you present the facts and you present what's really going on, then people can make up their own minds. And so I tell my patients that, you know, I don't want to tell you what to do. I want you to make up your mind what's best for you. And my advice is always a plant-based diet, and I tell them why. And then they're adults, and they're free to do what they want to do in this life.
But does incremental adoption, if I wanted to adopt a plant-based diet 3 days a week but not 7 days, so I go to that, yep, because you don't tell an alcoholic he can drink on Sundays. You right. don't tell a smoker he can right. smoke on Sundays. In the case of this vegan diet or the plant-based diet, and I'll use plant-based because I think you're right, vegan has a connotation to some people that scares them away.
Yep.
But in a plant-based diet, can incremental changes bring incremental benefits?
Yes. The yeah. answer to that is absolutely yes.
Yeah.
So sometimes I tell people if they can't quite go the whole thing is to start 1 day a week. Don't eat any meat. Just do that for a while. And then after a while, 2 days a week. And sort of ease into it. And everybody says, oh, my God, what am I going to eat? Well, you know, one of our favorite holiday meals is Thanksgiving. We eat everything but the turkey. Right. So all the stuff that's on the table, all the cranberries and all the mashed potatoes and all the green beans and everything else, that's all plant-based. And that's fine. So there's plenty of stuff to eat, folks. You don't, right. You're not going to be starving.
Right. And we talked about it before the break. And restaurants are increasingly on the program. This is really not that difficult for them.
They're, right? they're responding to consumer demand. And we're reaching a critical mass in our society where people are starting to get it, particularly young people. And so I was talking to one guy who works in restaurant chains. And when about 20% of the market hits that, that's when behavior changes among restaurants. So you're seeing healthier meals, you're seeing vegan options and plant-based options in all sorts of restaurants.
So there's a tremendous amount of talk about inflammation and mm-hmm. gut health, and there are various programs out about gut health. We talked about the Whole 30 being one, and there are others. What kind of changes should we adapt the program, should we expect to see, and how long before you start to see benefits?
So let's say you've decided that you want to go plant-based. And so you start, you change your diet, you stop eating animal products. And right off the bat, you've saved some animal lives.
Right.
when you look at the meat industry, it's one of the biggest contributors to global warming.
Right.
So you can buy an electric car, or you can take a shorter shower, stuff. But if you ask me, what's the best thing I as an individual can do to help the planet? It's stop eating meat. 70% of all the land in the United States is used for crops that feed animals. 80% of all the antibiotics that are made go to feed animals because it keeps them healthy in their factory farms. And it's a very inefficient way to feed ourselves. It takes 2,400 gallons of water, 12 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of beef. Wow. So it's an incredibly inefficient system. Wow. So if you 80% of the grains that are grown in the United States go to feed animals. And so if you cut out the animal middleman, you could feed the world, and you could stop world hunger.
Wow, that's really quite astounding.
It is amazing.
Right. I have so much more to ask you, and that's a good thing because we still have a little bit of time left. I want to talk about drugs, we talked about polypharmacy, about how drugs play a role in this. I want to come back to, on a personal level, what kind of results will I feel if I start to adopt this? I want to revisit the hospital's commitment to this and how this is going to roll out, and is there an expectation about adaptation or adoption? We'll talk about exercise, and we'll run out of time before we run out of topics to talk about. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg on Oh My God. I'm getting older, so is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. David Dotson. Dr. Dotson has built his practice over the years in internal medicine and infectious disease. He also has a travel medicine practice. We're not going to get much chance to talk about that tonight. I wish we had, because it's a really interesting subject as well. But he has become a plant-based aficionado on a personal level, and now he has brought that to Good Samaritan Hospital. And Good Samaritan Hospital has agreed to get on board to make the investment both intellectually and financially to build all of the resources necessary to offer patients an option that heretofore was not available. It is the first of its kind in the state of Florida and one of the first in the nation. It's really something to be proud of, and it's something to understand, and they're about to roll that out, and that is why Dr. Dotson is here. So if you have questions for Dr. Dotson or for me, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact health care challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here tonight with Dr. David Dotson. Dr. Dotson is an internal medicine and infectious disease physician practicing at Good Samaritan Hospital. He has a long and impressive resume. I won't go through that again, but he is here tonight to talk about the benefits of a plant-based diet, and he's here to talk about the initiative that Good Samaritan Hospital is undertaking to introduce a plant-based diet option to their patients. They're not going to do away with their other diet and other food options, but they're going to add this in. And I guess it's going to be really interesting soon to find out how many people opt for the plant-based options and how that works. And, of course, will the physicians encourage people who are there? I'm sure the hospitalists will be on board pretty quickly, but the outside physicians will be a harder sell, perhaps. I don't know if that's true or not. But
I don't know. I think more and more docs are starting to get it,
yeah.
And they want the best for their patients, and so they'll go along with it.
Yeah.
And the other part of my mission here tonight that you didn't mention is to keep the radio host Scott Greenberg alive, to keep doing these shows.
Yeah, for those of you just tuning in, we're negotiating in between. During the commercial breaks, we're negotiating. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you, you know, this is really important. What would the changes Scott Greenberg, I would expect to see, and what if I were to adopt this, even for just 30 days, what would happen to me?
What would happen is that your body chemistry would change. Your levels of inflammation would go down. Your gut bacteria would change. Your cholesterol would go down. Probably your weight would go down. The benefits of a whole food plant-based diet are the side effects of this diet are you'll lose weight, you'll have more energy, you'll have a longer life, and you won't have heart disease.
And how long before I start to see some of those benefits?
Your gut flora starts changing within days to weeks.
Really?
Yep. So changes start in your gut, and then your cholesterol levels will start to go down, your inflammatory markers will start to go down, and that's within days to weeks.
And so, I don't know why this just popped into my head. Where does gluten fit into this? And are breads included or not included in this?
Carbs are all breads, whole foods are fine. There are some people who are sensitive to gluten. Probably more people think they are than actually are. But there are some people who are sensitive to gluten, and they shouldn't be eating. They should eat gluten free, whole grains. But most people aren't.
Yeah. So a couple of other somewhat practical questions, or at least practical in my mind, is how do drugs play a role in diet? Will this affect drugs? Will it make them more efficacious? Would it make them less so? I know we struggle. I talk often on the show about polypharmacy. People take too damn many drugs. I mean, and we do.
Yeah.
And we all understand why. Well, not everybody understands why, but you and I understand why we take drugs, because people are selling us.
Well, that's it. So one of the when I talk with patients, I said, well, if you make these changes, we may be able to get you off some of these medicines, because basically you're eating the animal proteins and your cholesterol is going up, so you're taking Lipitor to lower the cholesterol. Well, why not stop eating the cholesterol?
And what diseases would be most effective? Obviously, it comes to mind, diabetes would be affected quite instantly, I would think, if you were to do this.
Well,
right?
the immediate thing is cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes. So so if somebody comes in with a heart attack, I think it's important that they start on a plant-based diet right then and there, right in the hospital. And that changes the dynamics of what's going on in their arteries. It's all about the arteries. That's what's happening there. Obesity is the main driver of diabetes. Obesity causes something called insulin resistance, and then that's why type 2 diabetes is taken off.
Right.
So the weight coming off, that's a side effect of a plant-based diet. That takes a little longer. But immediately, you'll see changes in gut flora and cholesterol levels and your endothelium, the vascular system.
Are there blood tests? Is there any way to see that the progress that we're predicting is actually happening, or do we just start to feel better?
Well, you start to feel better, but here's what I'll throw out this challenge to the people who are listening to your our program tonight is go into your doctor and measure your cholesterol and your CRP, your inflammatory markers, and then go on a plant-based diet for 1 month, and then come back and do the exact same laboratory test at the end of 1 month. And you can see for yourself what happens.
Right. Exercise? How does that play a role in this story?
Well, exercise is, you know, it's good for your heart. It's good for your muscles. It builds everything. And there, a lot of the weightlifters have this myth that they have to eat protein to build muscle. Well, protein doesn't build muscle. Exercise builds muscle. So you can build muscle with 80% carbs diet. You don't have to eat all these protein shakes that the companies are trying to sell you.
Has your regular practice evolved as since this has become so important to you? Or are you adopting your practice to do more of this? Because you're an internal medicine physician. So
people are
coming to you for a whole host of reasons.
Yeah.
They're certainly not coming to you on the surface for nutritional counseling.
You can go to your doctor and he can give you a bunch of prescriptions for a bunch of medicines, but why not go to your doctor and find a new way to live so you don't have to take all those medicines?
Right, right. How do people reach you if they want more? If they want to talk to you one-on-one, they don't want to call in tonight? How's the best way to reach you?
My office number is 561-655-8448. Office is in West Palm Beach, right next to Good Samaritan Hospital. We have a website, cardondodson.com.
And I checked your I went on your website and before tonight, and it's full of very useful information. Why don't we give the phone number one more time?
Yeah, it's area 561-655-8448. And actually, on our website, there's a patient resources tab, and it'll send you to nutritionfacts.org, which is a terrific website if you want anything nutrition-based, nutritionfacts.org. It's a wonderful website.
So if you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night at 6 o'clock on 95.9 True Oldies, Florida. We're also on 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We rebroadcast this show on 103.9 FM, Long Island's Talk Radio. And then again, the show replays on Sunday mornings on 95.9 and 106.9. We're glad that you're with us. If you're a regular listener, we're thrilled that you're here. If you're new to us, we talk about a whole host of subjects here, and we've been doing it for a little over 6 years, and we talk about not just medical interventions or medical ideas or medical testing, etc. We talk about a whole host of issues, and I encourage you to listen to us. If you wish you had heard the beginning of this show, then I have good news for you. We podcast, so you can listen to it. All you have to do is search OMG I'm Getting. Up will pop on the iTunes podcast platform. We also put it up on my website, which is palmbeach.comfortcare.com. palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfortcare, comfortcare. I know you want to put a T in there. Don't do it. You'll never find us. palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Also, you can listen to us whether you have a radio or not by downloading the TuneIn Radio app. TuneIn Radio. The app is free on all the platforms, and the broadcast station is 960 AM. You can set it for 6 o'clock every Monday night and pick us up. Of course, we simulcast on the web, locally, nationally, and around the world. www.trueoldiesfla.com. TrueOldiesFLA.com. Next week, one of my favorite people in the whole world, because she's one of the smartest people. She has a great sense of humor, and she really, really knows her stuff. Dr. Elaine Rotenberg is going to be with us. She is going to be talking about mental health first aid. We don't often think about mental health needing first aid, but she has developed a program and is working with her organization, Albert Jewish Family and Children's Service, to get out the mental health first aid program. She's teaching both professionals and lay people, and she's just a marvelous guest. You're going to love her to death. I've known her for years. She's wonderful. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking to the MS Society. Multiple sclerosis is another chronic disease that people don't think much about until it affects them. And unfortunately, chronic disease is more and more a factor in our daily lives. And MS is one of those chronic diseases that can last a very long time. It can be devastating, not only for the person who is diagnosed, but for the family as well. So we're going to have the MS Society folks here, and we're going to be talking about what they do, how they can help you, how you can help them, and the latest developments in neuromuscular disease like MS disease. So that's in 2 weeks, and I encourage you to tune into that. It's going to be a fascinating show, one that I have been looking to do for a very long time. If you're just tuning in now, though, I still have time to talk to my guest, Dr. David Dodson. Dr. Dodson is an internal medicine practitioner, an infectious disease specialist at Good Samaritan Hospital here in West Palm Beach. He's been here since 1985, and he is talking about nutrition. He is talking about plant-based options of nutrition to help you with your health. He's spearheading a program at Good Samaritan Hospital that is going to give patients options for plant-based selection of foods instead of the normal food that is on the menus that we see when we're in the hospital, if you've ever been. Dr. Dodson, back to the Good Sam effort. Is there any predictability as to how many people will adopt this? Is there a hope? Or do we see it growing? I mean, this is a paradigm shift in not just somebody like me's thinking or you. It is also for the hospital. Everybody around there is going to be learning something entirely new. So how do we think that's going to roll out? Do we have any predictions?
Well, yeah, I think it'll roll out just as we've been talking here. There'll be some people who are more resistant and some people who are less resistant. But again, that's where the educational part will fit in. We want to educate people that there's a different way to live, a different way to avoid heart disease, avoid the chronic degenerative diseases you just talked about. And one other level of comfort for people in our age group. In his last book, Dr. Spock recommended a plant-based diet.
Oh, is that true?
That's true.
Wow. I just tell you a funny story, which has nothing to do with this, but Dr. Spock, which many of us at our age group were intimately familiar with as we were raising our kids, I mentioned it to my kids once, and they thought I meant Mr. Spock from Star Wars. They had no idea what I was talking about. So one of the specialties of your practice is travel medicine. Mm-hmm. And I know we're not going to have time to talk about travel medicine. But when people travel, they tend to become more. Is there anything connecting the travel? A lot of my listeners travel extensively, and this diet.
Absolutely.
Is there a connectivity or a connection between the two?
Yeah. So, as we were talking about before, there's an intimate link between what people eat and the health of our planet. Right now, animal foods contribute to global warming, water scarcity, species extinction, Amazon destruction. 5 million acres a year are being cut down so that animals can graze. Depletion of our oceans and world hunger. Those are the side effects of an animal-based food economy. So in the end, we're talking about our own health, but what good is your own health if your planet's dying? We have 7 billion people on this spaceship that we call home, and we're destroying it. And if you're really into conservation, I think it was John Muir who said, a real conservationist realizes that we didn't inherit our planet from our grandparents. We're just taking care of it for our grandchildren. And when you think about it that way, you start changing your behavior. And when you change your behavior by eating, you'll change the consequences of what's going on in our planet. So the single best thing, if you can, a plant-based diet will give you better personal health. It'll give better health for our planet. And then we haven't even talked about how many billions of animals you'll save from a cruel and shortened life.
It's amazing. So I have to thank you so much. Most of my guests are not near as passionate about their story as you are, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
And I think the information, while challenging for me maybe personally and for some people, is something that we really need to pay more attention to. If you have more questions for Dr. Dodson, you can reach him at his office. We gave you the number a few minutes. Why don't we give the number one more time? We only have
The office is area 561-655-8448.
And I encourage you to call him up, make an appointment, go see him. He's got a great reputation.
One more thing. If you want to learn more about this and you have Netflix, watch a movie called Forks Over Knives, and then another movie is called Food Choices.
Right.
Those two will get you right up to speed with what we're talking about.
It's really a fascinating subject. diet, plant-based diet. This is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. As I said earlier, we're here every Monday night. We're glad that you are, too. We hope that you'll come back. We do this show live, 6 o'clock, 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM. We rebroadcast on 103.9 FM, and it replays again on Sunday mornings on the same Palm Beach stations. We appreciate your support. If you are new to us, please come back. If you're a regular listener, thank you. We'll be here next week with Dr. Elaine Rotenberg, and for the rest of the week, we wish you the best. Happy and healthy week, and we'll see you then. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Good night, all.